Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, have your will and your way in the service today, Lord Jesus. Open hearts to receive. Speak through my lips, Holy Spirit, that you might be glorified, Lord Jesus. Through the teaching and the preaching of your word, Lord, that it brings about real change. Encounter us right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 3, 8 through 11. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Have you won Christ? And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Last week, the energy level was really low as we were reading through the story of how Cornelius and his entire family and his sphere of influence came to the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And we see the Holy Spirit pour out on them. In Acts 10, he said, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. This is verse 24. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at reverence at his feet. And Peter lifted up and said, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to him, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man uncommon. Any man common or unclean. And pick up in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and he says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Christ Jesus, for he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after baptism, and which John preached. And further on in verse 39, he says, we are witnesses of all of Jerusalem, whom they killed him by hanging on a tree. And God raised him up on the third day. And while Peter was speaking in verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell. It fell upon all those who heard the word. Listen, they were listening intently to receive something in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit then came and encountered them. And the transformation process began to know him. They saw something. They were acquainted and then they wanted to know. And they received that which the Lord had for him. They received the Spirit of God in him. And then they had this desire to want to partake more. And they asked Peter, please stay. Teach us the ways of the Lord. Teach us. Let us know what it was like being with him. Tell us about your encounters. Tell us about your testimony, Peter. Tell us about how you were transformed. And the reason why I was talking about that is in verse chapter 11, the same story is encountered again. The same story is taught over again. There's a reason it's gone through twice. It's important. It's important. And so this is the rechance of what happened last week. Because, you know, I felt like really just, you know, we weren't on the same page. And maybe it was just me too. But I know this. The last thing Jesus told the disciples was to go into the world and preach the gospel to all. To all. In Matthew 28, here it is, 18 through 21. And Jesus came and spoke to him, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, not just Jews, not just Jerusalem, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Is he not? Thank you for your testimony earlier. You see, up to this point, the disciples of Christ were only preaching the gospel to the Jews. Up to this point, we have a little sidebar with Philip, who went to the Samaritans, and then the eunuch that came to know him. But the thought of preaching to Gentiles was unthinkable. It was unfathomable. And in the minds, the thinking of the time was the Gentiles would actually need to convert to Judaism to obtain salvation. First become a Jew, get circumcised, then you can have access to salvation. And Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, had changed all of it. He had busted the door wide open. He busted the door wide open to the gates of hell and said, "Give me the keys. Give me the keys, Satan." And then he busted the door open to salvation to all who believe. All who believe. Now it was a matter of getting everyone else to the same tuning of God's plan. It's like the radio station, right? You know, if you don't tune in, you get that static. But when you get tuned in on that right station, you hear it so clearly. Let's pick it up in Acts 11. So let's read the story. Now the apostles, verse 1, the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. They heard it, right? And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them?" And Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, and it let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. And when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' And I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done how many times, folks? Three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. And we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house. Hallelujah. Yeah. Who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He will tell you the words by which all you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, I'd even finish my sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning, just a few chapters ago. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, and how he said, did you hear that part? Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" Answer that own question for yourself. You have a gift. You have a gift. Who are you to withstand the God as to who gets salvation? Amen. And when they heard these things, they became silent. The word of God needs no defense. The truth needs no defense. And it shuts the mouths. They were silent. And then they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life." Amen. You see, the story is repeated twice, and it's important we have to understand why. Because first we saw God change Peter's heart and his mind about the Gentiles. But now, what about everyone else? Right. What about everyone else? See, we get to see God change the hearts of other believers. Peter had used complete wisdom when he had preached the gospel to Cornelius and his family and his friends. And it says that he brought how many Jewish believers with him? He brought six other believers with him. See, they were witnesses as well to Peter, to the events that happened. There's seven of them there. And the big difference is, if one person came back and Peter just said, this is what happened, they may not take him at his word for it. But you have six other witnesses there that saw the same thing. There's no refuting it. They saw it, and they had a good report. Six others to confirm the story. And I believe that having the witnesses there pivots the reality for the other Jewish believers. Six others say, yes, it's true. The Holy Spirit fell upon him. He was in mid-sentence, and the Holy Spirit came down, just like it was in Acts chapter 2. For us, it's all part of God's plan. All part of God's plan. Point one, God has a plan and ways that are for His purpose. And guess what, folks? It's for His kingdom. Amen. For His kingdom. You see, it was God who initiated the plan of salvation. You see, He sent His Son, whom willfully surrendered His life and His crown for you and I. It is also God who gave Peter the vision and spoke very clear to him, saying, don't call things common or unclean that I have cleaned. It was also God who sent the angel to Cornelius to usher in a moment in time where salvation would be presented to him and his entire family, and then thus opening the door to salvation to all Gentiles. It results in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit to both Jews and Gentiles both. So God just so chose Peter as that vessel to preach salvation and deliver the message. We too are vessels that He chooses to use to influence our sphere of influence. You have to understand this. You are a vessel to influence your sphere of influence. Those you come in contact with. So my question is, are you being salt and light, or are you being the opposite? It's time to break it down. It's time to get to reality and examine our own hearts. Are you being a vessel to influence those with the gospel? Are you being light and you being salt? Are you creating thirst in others to want to know more? Or are you being the opposite? Are you putting your candle under the bushel? Point number two. Trust the Lord in His word and His ways. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in just some of your ways acknowledge Him. Is that it? Oh, come on, church. How many ways?
All.
I didn't hear you. How many?
All
of your ways acknowledge Him. And then what? He shall direct your paths. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, then Jesse will direct your path. She'll direct her own path. Is that how it works? No. You give Him all, you surrender all, you trust in all, and then He directs your paths. Isn't that awesome to know that He will direct your path? And there's a plan and purpose that He's doing that for.
Amen. That's right.
Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. See, that's awesome. See, His word is true. In the darkest moments of your entire life, you know that there is a lamp unto your feet. So when it's all dark, you can still see a light unto your path into which way to go. There's darkness all around me, but that's okay. His word is true, and it is forever, and it is a lamp unto my feet. And so therefore, I know which steps I need to take and where I don't need to go. For the Lord spoke to Peter and Cornelius, and they trusted in Him and His plan, didn't they? He immediately sent out his servants, and He sent out a soldier to go get Peter. And just because you are in the Lord and because you're following according to His plan, it does not mean that all are going to agree with you. Many will snark. Many will scoff against you. Peter was following the Lord's direction, yet man's rules and laws will always try to inhibit and hinder God's plan. That is religion. It's part of the world system. That's why we studied that. Right? Who controls the world system? Satan, the power of the prince of the air. And you have this awesome example. And I love that when Marcos was praying, he said, Lord, that you would open up and see. And we're going to spend time. It's the second longest sermon in the Bible. Did you know that? Do you know what it is? It's in Acts. The second longest sermon in the Bible, second to the Sermon on the Mount. It's Stephen.
In Acts chapter 7, then the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.
Remember, we're talking about the world system. We're talking about religion. Okay?
And so listen to what Stephen is just saying to these Pharisees, just, you know, the religious leaders of the time. And he says that he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to the land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. Hallelujah, that God's promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
You just have to have the faith to stand in that promise. And you hold on to that promise. If he spoke to you and he gave you a promise, it's true. And it'll come to fruition. But you have to be seeking him. Is it in his will? Is it in his kingdom? Is it part of his plan? But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and they would bring them into bondage and oppress them for 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God, and after they shall come out and serve me in this place. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Wow. Stephen is just laying out God's plan. And he's saying, here's what's happening. And the patriarchs became envious. And guess what happened? They sold Joseph into Egypt. He had a plan. And Joseph has this dream, and the brothers turn against him. And what man thought for bad, God turned and made for good. And delivered him out of his troubles, and he gave him favor, and he gave him wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. Hallelujah, that the Lord gives you wisdom and discernment in the front of the kings of men to confound the wise, for his gospel confounds the wise. And he made him governor over Egypt and all of his house, the number two man in Egypt. But then a famine came, and great trouble came over the land in Egypt and Canaan. And our fathers had no substance. But when Jacob heard there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and his relatives to him, 75 people. And so Jacob went down to Egypt, and there he died, and he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise draw near, when the time of the promise draws near, God had sworn to Abram, and the people grew. See, even in Egypt, the land that wasn't promised to them, the promise was still happening, and it was still growing. And then what happened was another king arose who didn't know who Joseph was. And what did he do? He put him into bondage. It says, this man dwelt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. And at this time, during this time, God rose another man up. And Moses was born and was pleasing to God. And he was brought up in the father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. You see, God starts in the heart. He starts in the heart. The seed gets planted in the heart, and it starts to work. And he saw a man that got suffered wrong, and he defended and he avenged him who was oppressed, and he struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them. Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at the saying, Moses fled. Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Fear drove Moses into the desert, into the wilderness. But God wasn't done yet. You see, even when man goes the wrong way, he starts to correct you. Just like Jonah went the wrong way. God said, no, I need you here. You're going to go here. Okay, well, I'm gonna swallow you with a fish. And then you're going to sit in there for 3 days. Because I'm going to give you an example of what the Lord's going to do when he raises up again. And then finally, on the third day, he spits him out and goes to preach the salvation to the repentance. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame in the fire of a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near, he came to observe. The voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. And the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard the groaning have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. See, God heard the prayers of the Israelites. They were groaning. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you? Listen, Stephen gives this perfect contrast, and he's trying to speak to them. He said, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler and judge? Is the one God sent to be a ruler and deliver by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in bush. It's a perfect analogy of Jesus, who is the judge, and who is going to be the ruler, and whom God sent to redeem you.
Amen.
And he brought them out, and after he'd shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and the wilderness for 40 years. What did Jesus do for 3 years in his ministry? He showed the wonders of God. Peter preached it just before. He's explained it. Look in Acts chapter 10. What did he preach to Cornelius and his family? He talked about Jesus and the wonders that he did. You have to see the parallel. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, Lord God will raise up a prophet. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet with a capital P, like me from your brethren, him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. They went back to the world, saying to Aaron, make us gods, lowercase, to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of his own hand. And God turned them and gave them up to the worship of the host of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your lowercase god, Remphan. Images which you made to worship. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. For our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern which our fathers have received it in turn, who brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found the favor before God and asked him to find a dwelling house for Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in the temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? What house are you building for me, says the Lord? What house are you building for me, says the Lord? I'm asking you.
We are the temple.
What is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Have I not made you in my image?
to give me worship? Is that why he created you and I? You stiff-necked, you uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. These are the religious leaders. They had the truth right before them. And they didn't want to buy in. You are just like your fathers. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by direction of the angels, and you haven't even kept it. You have this appearance. Jesus said, you're like whited sepulchres. On the outside, you look clean, but you're dirty on the inside. You're dead on the inside. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, but then they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And they cried out with a loud voice. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. I just see God's glory. Can we get to the point where we just see tunnel vision? We just see Jesus at the end of the finish line just saying, run your race. Stay focused on me. Don't let the world. Don't let the world influence you. And that's what's happening here. The world is trying to influence them. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. The very beginning point, in my opinion, the seed was being sown in Saul's heart right here. It's always those who seem to resist the most, and all of a sudden, God's doing a work. And they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, just like Jesus did. Why? Why? Because he knows him. Why? Because he knows the power of his resurrection and he sees where he's going. Two, he knows the fellowship of his suffering and he says, don't lay this charge at them. They know not what they do. They are in darkness. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And he entered into the presence. Can you imagine at that very moment? Well done. Well done, you true and faithful servants. And I want to take this example of those who are stiff-necked and circumcised in the heart. And I think sometimes it's just so great to read the Word of God in the story. Amen. In this case, the Lord uses Peter again to explain how God changed his heart, how God intervened. And he used witnesses to change the hearts. See, the difference in Stephen speaking to the religious, they don't know. Peter is speaking to whom? Other believers who are just not in the, they don't understand fully. But the difference is, see, the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts of these other believers, as Peter shared the story of salvation to the Gentiles, and as a result, because they know Jesus Christ in their heart, as a result, their eyes are opened, and what do? It's right there in verse 18. They praise the Lord. They praise the Lord versus non-believers not knowing Christ stone Stephen. There's a difference there. There's differences. Regardless, we are to stand our ground. And we need to fear the Lord and not what man can do. See, Peter said, first thing he does, he walks in with fellow believers. And they're like, they hear the story and they're like, what? You went into his house and ate with him? Like, there's no stopping, like, praise the Lord, someone heard. They heard the story. That was the first thing they wanted to address. Point number three. God's plan is salvation to all who accept his son, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, it says, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal this to previous generations, but now by
His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. This is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. We share equally. Both are part of the same body. And both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to whom? Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Listen to that again. I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading the good news. Do you think that way? Is it a privilege to spread the good news? Because it is available to all and you are a vessel. Are you being a vessel to honor? 2 Timothy talks about that. Are you being a vessel to honor? They're all part of the same house, the vessels of honor and dishonor. Are you being a vessel of honor? Here's a question for you. This might cut a little bit. When was the last time you spoke about the Lord? When was the last time you had a conversation about the Lord outside of Sunday? Outside of Sunday. Outside of 8 to 12. What influence are you having, or are you being influenced? Be on guard. Be on guard. You see, sometimes we need to be reminded just about our priorities. Are we seeking His kingdom first? Are we? Or are we looking to add to His kingdom, or are we just sitting on the sidelines? I'm good. I believe in Jesus. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines, though. Don't want to get uncomfortable. Listen, I'm just as guilty. I'm just as guilty of sitting on the sidelines at times. Get involved. Get engaged. Do you understand whom you serve? Do you understand who the privilege is? Listen to this. Listen to this. Revelation 5. When He takes the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." Amen. "And to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God." It says in another version, "You purchased us for God by Your blood." "Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our gods, and we shall reign on the earth." He is worthy. He is worthy. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and the strength, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Amen. "And the four living creatures say, 'Amen, as it be on earth, as it is in heaven.' 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him. They worshiped Him who lives forever and ever." Is it a privilege? Do you view it as a privilege to share what God has done for you? For He purchased you and I. Purchased. You're the slave on the auction block and He bought you. He bought you. Tell the world.
Amen.
I wrote this. Get involved. Get in the game. Get involved with the kingdom. Get involved in God's purpose. Get involved. Get involved. If you have to take baby steps, get involved. If it's just sending a text message, get involved. If it's forwarding a scripture to somebody,
Because you prayed about it and you just felt like, man, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like I need to send this scripture to him. You should have sent it yesterday when you felt led on the same way. You shouldn't have waited for me. You should have sent it. Get involved. Point four. Let God transform you and renew your mind by his word.
Amen.
You see, there's a bondage of tradition versus the joy of salvation. Mm-hmm. Acts 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them?" You see, tradition kept them from celebrating new names written down in glory. Instead, they were worried about the perception of tradition. Rather than looking at what God was doing and the work that he was accomplishing, they looked at their old traditions and strongholds of their old religion. They looked back, like Lot's wife. They looked back, not forward. You see, each believer, we have these ways that we get set in. We get like just comfortable, right? In this way of thinking. And God's trying to bring something new to you. He's trying to work something in you. And we need to allow God's word to transform us. That's what Romans 12, 2 is. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world system. Don't be conformed to the old ways of thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Was it not God's will that to bring salvation to the Gentiles?
That's right.
Peter had to have his mind transformed and renewed to find out what the perfect will of God was. And that was to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And so it was with these same believers that had to hear. They had to understand. Some just don't get to that point. They get stuck in their ways. And they don't let the word of God penetrate anymore. They get calloused. Are you being calloused? Someone heard that right now. Someone deep inside, they know the callous. They know the calluses are there. You see, religion is of the world, and salvation is of the kingdom of God. And it is God's wish that all would come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." All. Not some, all. You see, our focus should be on the salvation of souls, winning the lost. Then we set the example. Then we teach discipleship. Then we allow the Holy Spirit to do the transformation in the others. The bottom line is God's kingdom, like we saw in Revelation, is made up of many tribes and many nations. Not all will look like Calvary Church. Not all are going to look like us. Not all will look like you and I. I mean, Jesus, it's a mixed bag. Jesus had followers of Peter, who was Simon the fisherman. He had Levi, the Matthew, who was the tax collector. James, the brother of John. Then James, his own brother. Look at the shepherds. Look at Nicodemus on the other side. I assume that Nicodemus was a believer. We'll find out someday. Saul to Paul. God has his ways, and oftentimes it doesn't fit our plan of thinking of this is the way it should go. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our steps and flow freely through us. And it gets over ourselves. We get over ourselves and our train of thoughts that block us from fulfilling his purpose. John 14, 26 says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he teaches you all things. And he brings to remembrance all things that I had said to you." You see, Peter, as the Holy Spirit led him in the dream and hearing the Lord's word, it brought remembrance back to him, didn't it? He said, "I remember the word of the Lord saying." And I think also at that point, he's thinking about the woman at the well. And he's thinking about what the Lord said about what goes into the man's belly isn't what defiles him. It's what comes out of the heart, of the mouth. And we have this perfect example of Peter in this passage here. I'm getting close to finishing here. So just stay with me. Don't lose. You have this perfect example of what's happening. One, Peter's seeking God. He was seeking the kingdom because when the trance happened, he was praying. That's what happened. He was praying and God gave him the vision. That means he was praying to God. That means he was seeking the kingdom. And that's when God gave him the vision that would bring salvation to the Gentiles. Two, there's an uncomfortable situation. See, it was uncomfortable for Peter to change his thought process. He said, "Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything like that. I don't want to eat that. I'm not going to eat that stuff." You see, we often get very comfortable or lax in our walk with the Lord, and sometimes the Lord needs to make us uncomfortable to get us where he wants us. Hence, Jonah being swallowed. Hence, Gideon losing all of his men down to 300. Hence, Saul being blinded to finally become Paul. Uncomfortable situations sometimes have to happen to get you to where you need to be. And when it doesn't work, what happens? Three is he repeats. He repeats. God repeats. How many times did God have to repeat himself to get Peter's attention? How many times? Three. And even then, after this passage, we see also in Galatians where Peter falls back into his old way of thinking. Paul said it in Galatians 2, 11 through 16. He said, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." You see, even then, when you allow the God to transform, you can slip back. You can slip back in the old ways. That's why you got to be on your guard. You got to get your armor on. Peter had to be reminded later as his old self rose up there. You see, flesh constantly battles with the mind, and you have to take it into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ." We must be convinced of this truth. The renewal of our minds leads to a new way of thinking. Amen. And that new way replaces the old way. And the new way is in line with the Word of God. And as Peter's mind was transformed, he was sharing with the other Jewish believers how the process occurred. And thus their mind and their ways of thinking were illuminated by the Lord and His Word. And it says then as a result, they praised the Lord. Point number five, and I'm closing here. If you won't, God will find someone else that will.
For sure.
And this just shows complacency. You see, we all can get like just that lukewarmness. It's a warning, like the Laodicean church, that lukewarmness. You see, though Peter would be a catalyst of a start of preaching the good news to Gentiles, unfortunately, over time, the church in Jerusalem, it just waned. It never fully embraced the idea of preaching to the Gentiles. And so you see God raise up others. And he raises up Paul. And then you see, and sometimes God has to use persecution to accomplish. And that's what happened if you read it. There was persecution right after Stephen. And what happened was some of the believers scattered and they left Jerusalem. Where did they end up? In Antioch. And in Antioch they were preaching to the Gentiles. And in Antioch is where they were first called what? Christians. And so the point is, if you won't, God will find someone else. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I know this was a tough message. It was stepping on my toes when I was putting this together, Lord. Father, I pray that this really brings about change in the hearts of those who heard it. Convict the things that need to be convicted. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to your name, to be about your business, Lord. And remind us, if we're not seeking you, to be seeking you. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.